You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Hey, y'all, I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 345. All right, jumping right in. Actually, you know what we haven't done in a while? What is a Sinister Sightings?
You in your moo-moo.
That was a good one. But I figured you would say my Crocs with socks.
That also.
Which, ironically, I'm wearing both of those things right now. A moo-moo. It says snuggle. Thank you, Walmart. And Crocs and socks. But seriously, okay, if you're new here, Sinister Sightings are an extra episode a week where we read emails that y'all send in. So it's stories that could be anything from something spooky dooky that you've encountered, something true crime in your area, ambient stories, creepy stories if you work in the medical field.
Like a local urban legend.
Really, you know, anything where you've had any type of encounter with real, like true crimey type things in your area or encounters with the paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Or having a child who says weird ass creepy shit.
Yeah, like they have encounters with the paranormal or past life shit.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you're from Crime Wave at Sea, hi, thank you for listening to us.
Okay.
Wait, and send in those stories because you know something happened on that cruise ship.
Right. And if you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. Okay, now we're jumping right in. The first one. Hello, lovely ladies. A few years ago, my dad passed away. While he was in the hospital, I would always go to the coffee shop and get him a coffee and an apple fritter. Those were his absolute favorite. Fast forward a few years, I got married and I'm in the hospital about to give birth to our first baby. He ended up needing life-saving surgery at 2 days old, so my husband and I were a wreck. He's doing great now and is an adventurous little boy. When we were informed that his surgery had started, my husband needed to get some coffee and clear his head. He comes back to the room with coffees and he sets down a donut. I just happened to look at the bag and saw it, an apple fritter. He never gets them and hasn't since. I said, wow, is that an apple fritter? He said, something just told me to get it. I started bawling. I knew that my dad was telling us that it was going to be okay. Every so often, I see my kids looking over my shoulder, smiling so big and starting to wave. It freaks me out for a split second, but then I get a calm feeling knowing it's my dad visiting the grandsons he never got to meet. I have more stories of a house I grew up in that had an old lady ghost named Bessie. I'll send those in soon. Love you ladies so much.
My mama loved an apple fritter too. And a bear claw. I pretty much love every donut, so.
You know, you used to always get those blueberry twisty thingies.
No.
Yes, you would get them at Cracker Barrel. That's not right. Krispy Kreme, the blueberry fritter, not fritters. You know what I'm talking about, though.
Well, I get the blueberry glazed cake, but I would get the crullers. They're not blueberry.
I said you used to.
But the crullers, I think it's what you're, like, it looked like a big truck tire.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not blueberry.
They're not?
No, they were just donut.
Huh. What do you get this blueberry?
The blueberry frosted, like, cake.
Huh. Like, those aren't blueberry?
Crullers are not blueberry.
I am strictly a glaze or chocolate iced glaze. Look, when a place hits me with a chocolate iced donut that is not also glazed, that pisses me off. Because why do so many donut places do just the chocolate iced with not on top of a glazed donut? Why would I ever not want a glazed donut?
For sure.
But I have so many coworkers who are like, oh, I like it like this. It's not so sweet. I'm like, well, that is not true because I'm eating a donut. I want it to be glazed and I want it to be yummy.
Yeah, I like softer donuts, not really dense.
Yeah, I don't want it like cakey, no.
No.
Well, okay, because here we have Krispy Kreme who does their chocolate ice is glazed with the chocolate ice on top.
It's good.
And then we also have Shipley's. Those are our two big ones here. I don't think they glaze their chocolate, and it's not my favorite.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so that's...
Back to your dad.
Yeah. That is very sweet, though, like, that you can be comforted in your decision and...
And good for your hubby for just going with his gut and getting what, like, called to him.
Yeah. I do that sometimes, but then I end up not liking it, and my voice breaks. But you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. 'Cause I'm like... Ooh, oh yeah, that sounds good. And then again, I'm like, should have went with my normal. This is why I don't try new things. But send us in about Bessie, okay?
And so glad that your son's doing great and your dad comes around a lot. I'm like, kind of jealous. You don't feel like you ever get visits from your dad or your mom, huh?
Mm-mm. My mom sometimes with the like cigarette smoke stuff, but...
Which is so interesting because she didn't smoke like for years before she passed. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be a demon. I don't know. Sorry. And they're like, I'm not your mom. How comforting, the smell. Sulfur. Yay. Be like, oh, just like our farts. Okay, the next one. Where'd they go? Hello, ladies. Longtime listener, first time writer. My name is Lauren, and I'm in Kansas. Okay, I can't say that either.
If you're new, we say Texas for Texas. So Donna was trying to say Kansas like Texas, but it didn't work.
Kansas. Whatever. This happened to me back in the summer of 1984. I lived out in the country in an almost non-existent town called Allentown that was on the outskirts of Vacaville, California. The road I lived on was about a mile or so long, and everyone lived on 5-acre plots. All of us teens had horses, dirt bikes, mopeds, and four-wheelers. One day, we were out on our dirt bikes and four-wheelers, just cruising through the dried-up creek and the countryside. We had stopped to see where else we wanted to go when we heard this horn beeping. To the right of us is a hill, and someone on a moped was at the top, beeping their horn and waving their arms in the air to get our attention. We all start up our, quote, vehicles and start heading towards the hill. When we got to the top, no one was there, and there weren't any tire marks anywhere. The grass was pretty tall at the time, as the farmers hadn't cut it for hay bales yet, so there would have definitely been tracks, as you could see ours coming up the hill. We all looked at each other like, what is going on? We all saw this person up there, and we all heard the horn beeping. It was so crazy. We skedaddled pretty quickly back down the hill as we were scared and confused as to what had just happened. We discussed it a few times afterwards and even went back the next day to see if we had missed anything, and still only our tracks were there. I have another creepy encounter that I'll write about soon. Until then, creep it real and don't get scared.
Well, first of all, aside from the creepy ass encounter, that sounds like so much fun. I love riding a four-wheeler. But tell me why moped is the weirdest word to say. I'm like, is it Mopehead? I know it doesn't have an H, but I'm like, Moped? Moped.
Moped.
Say it again.
Moped.
One more time.
Moped.
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 No. Mope.
I didn't say an H in it ever.
I'm asking.
No.
Okay. I do. Moped. Mope. Head. No. Okay. H. Okay. Also.
The 5 acres. We know. It gets you wet.
Did you want to say waving their arms in the air like they just don't care?
No. No, no one did. Also, don't beep at me. You know what I hate? When you're in traffic and someone honks and I'm like, I have a red light. Why are you honking at me? And I'm like, oh, there's like 20 other cars here. They're probably honking at someone they know or someone else that's not going. It doesn't always have to be me. But like, I turn around and look like, what? Who's doing it?
But then it just disappeared and then the tracks weren't there the next day.
Maybe it was saving y'all from something else. Like it distracted y'all while something else happened. I don't know.
Or it made y'all skedaddle out of there.
Before something happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one. Recurring childhood dream. Hi, friends. Just a quick story to help ease your minds about running out. It's short, but here it is. I have one more. I'll send them in separately. So when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my family lived in an apartment over a bar my friend's parents owned. Living over a bar in the 80s was wild. I saw more things than I should have. That may be the scariest part of the story. Side note, you could very easily get onto the roof from the apartment, and my older brothers would sometimes sneak out there on Friday and Saturday nights during the winter and throw snowballs at the drunk people.
Oh my God.
Kids are such assholes. Anyway, we lived there for a couple of years, and almost every night I had the same dream. It always started with an older, creepy lady walking up the steps to the apartment in the middle of the night. In my kid mind, she was a witch. She pounded on the door, and I seemed to be the only person that ever heard it. I never opened it, but somehow she always got in. Everybody else just kept sleeping through all of this. I was terrified. She would walk towards my sleeping parents' bed to my dad's side with a comically large syringe, but there was nothing funny about it. I was so scared, and I always knew she was aware I was there hiding around the corner. I would try to scream to wake him up or to make her leave, but no sound ever came out. She would lean over him, ready to inject him with whatever was in the syringe, and that's when I would wake every time. This seems so short while typing it out, but it seemed to take forever in my dream. After we moved out of that apartment, I never had that dream again. I have no idea what it was about, but it scared the shit out of me. I could maybe understand if my parents were drug users and I saw needles used, but they weren't, so it doesn't make sense. I don't know, but over 40 years later, I can't forget it. Sorry for any typos, grammatical errors, and things that don't make sense. As always, creep it real and don't get scared, Paula.
Okay, Paula. When you said syringe, I noticed syringes, but in my head, I'm picturing like a turkey.
Like a turkey baster?
Yes. Like, so it was like comically large. And then she's like, just, and I, oop, squeeze something out on him. And I was like, wait, no, that's not a syringe.
For some reason, like while I was reading it, I was expecting it was going to say like a big, like comically large, like smile or something. And then when it said syringe, I was like, not the word I was expecting. Okay.
Went in a different direction. That is a creepy ass dream, though.
It really is. I wonder why you dreamt that, though. I wonder if you subconsciously maybe saw some people in the alleyway or something using some drugs. You couldn't reconcile it in your kid brain.
I have no idea.
That's a heavy dream for a kid, too.
Yeah.
One of my recurring dreams as a kid was that this duck pillow that I had, it was a pillow that was shaped like a duck. It would come to life and it was huge.
And it would chase you.
And it would chase me. But the pillow was like a normal size pillow, but in my dream, it became like massive. Yeah. And that shit would chase me. And Freddy Krueger chased me. Freddy Krueger and Hannibal Lecter were chasing me in these dreams. And Freddy Krueger would chase me to this hospital. And then I would get in the car and I would put it in reverse and Head of Electric would be hiding under the car. And bloop, bloop, over him. And then Freddy Krueger would be hiding in my parents' shower curtain.
Oh, God. Okay, the next one. House in the Woods. Hi, ladies. This is Paige from Northern Cali, and I love you girls. Jumping right into it. My boyfriend Mark and I had just moved into a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home tucked away on 50 acres of quiet countryside. The kind of place people dream about. Open floor plan, peaceful, surrounded by woods, isolated, but in a good way. Or so we thought. From the first, and I mean from day one, strange things began happening. The first thing we noticed was the bathroom light. Not flickering, just turning on and off by itself. No one near the switch. No timers, no smart plugs. Just us, standing in the hallway, watching the light click off. And then back on. And it wasn't a one-time thing either. It just kept happening. Unsettling. We both love creepy stuff, so we knew right away we had ghosts. But then came the moment that made it a bit scarier. One morning, Mark got home from work before I did. He walked into the house to find the living room light on, the TV playing, and the surround sound rumbling. We never, ever turn on the TV before work, and we don't use a living room light in the morning either. But that day, everything was on, like someone had been sitting there watching something, waiting for him to come home. The bathroom light continued to do its thing. The TV never turned itself on again, but the air in the house stayed off. Unsettling. But more unnerving was the sound coming from our bedroom closet. Not creaking or settling, a single solid bump. Almost like someone was on the other side of the door had just hit it with a fist. It happened daily and still does. Same sound, same spot. Like someone reminding us they're in there. At first, we brushed it off. Maybe the house was adjusting, maybe animals in the wall, but I couldn't shake the feeling. So I reached out to Susan, a medium from the Creeps and Crimes podcast. She confirmed it. There were spirits in our home, 2 of them, and she believed they didn't come with us, but they came with the land itself. Then something changed. I got pregnant. And strangely, almost suddenly, the activity slowed down. The bumps became less frequent. The light stayed off. The energy shifted, like whatever was here had stepped back. 3 months ago, I gave birth to our daughter, Piper. And just like that, it all returned. One night, I was sound asleep, and I woke up to Piper stirring in her crib. It was strange. She wasn't due to wake for a couple of hours. As I sat up to check on her, the egg-shaped nightlight on her dresser turned on. Now, this isn't a motion light. It requires 2 firm taps on the top to turn on. We use it all the time, and it doesn't just flick on by accident. But that night, it did, and the room filled with soft, warm light. It felt like someone was checking on her. We both have lost close family. I lost both my parents, my best friend Patrick, and my grandmother, and my boyfriend lost his grandma, too. So part of us wants to believe that it was one of them watching over Piper. Still, the timing was eerie. That nightlight came on one other time in the middle of the night. Again, no one near it, no movement, just on. And it didn't stop there. One morning, not long after Piper was born, Mark got up for work around 4 a.m. As he was getting ready, he walked past the living room and saw something that stopped him in his tracks. The electronic rocking chair was moving. It was one of those plug-in chairs, the kind that rocks back and forth automatically to soothe the baby to sleep. But it was unplugged and just gently moving on its own. Around that same time, something else started happening, and it was harder to explain. We both started seeing black shapes moving across the living room, but only out of the corners of our eyes. They weren't shadowy figures, and they weren't always at the same height. My boyfriend saw one near the ceiling, and I saw one just above the top of my coffee cart, like something small, dense, and dark darting through the air. Not quite a solid object, and not quite missed. We didn't see them at the same time. He'd seen one late at night before bed. I see one early in the morning while holding Piper. We kept it to ourselves at first, thinking maybe it was exhaustion or just tricks of the light, but eventually we told each other and realized that we were both seeing the exact same thing. Then came the bumps outside. The creepiest happened on a foggy Wednesday night. We heard it, a deep, echoing bang from outside, almost like drums. It wasn't thunder, it wasn't footsteps. It almost sounded like bass, like music coming from far away. The worst part is that we were watching the horror movie Weapons when it started, and it kept happening between 9 p.m. and midnight, off and on, over and over again. I texted our neighbor. She lived down the dirt road in a trailer, and her reply made my stomach drop. Yeah, I've heard it too. Whenever it happens, I feel like the floor of my trailer shakes. That night, we walked down the road trying to figure out where it was coming from. Mark with his gun in hand, because better be safe than sorry. But there was nothing. No music, no lights, no people. Just the sound, and then silence. We heard it again the next night, twice. And more recently, I woke up at 1:30 a.m. with Piper. As I sat there holding her in the quiet of the night, I heard it again. That deep, bumping noise outside the house. It happened at 1:30 and again at 2. No wind, no movement, just that unsettling, rhythmic thud coming from somewhere in the dark woods. And then that Friday, something else happened. Around 4 a.m., my boyfriend had just put Piper back to sleep. As he laid in the bed, he noticed something glowing. A strange, bright outline of light surrounding the outside of our bedroom door. It was like a light lining around the door, slowly making its way around. And then the dogs went crazy, barking like something had them on edge. I called a medium I personally know, told her everything, the lights, the bumps, the sounds outside, the weird energy, and her response? It could be an angel, or it could be aliens. I want to believe it was an angel. I really do. Part of me wonders. We still live here, we still hear bumps in the closet, and we still don't know who or what is trying to get our attention. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's something else. Maybe one day we'll find out.
See, why does it always happen with aliens in rural areas? I told y'all. Wait, or was that on the Patreon episode?
It was Patreon.
Oh, okay, we just recorded the Patreon episode. So if you want to know, go to Patreon.
That's so creepy. Also, I can't believe Carrie didn't say 50 acres. Oh, my God.
Well, I thought it. But I thought maybe y'all were getting tired of me saying it.
But also, she would have to have two bathrooms because her and Colby basically have the same colon. So
we really do. And you're one to talk, ma'am.
Okay. You will literally be eating and be like, oh, I gotta go. And like, we have to rush out of the restaurant so she can come back and use her fucking bidet. Tell me I'm lying.
You're not, but I can't help that I have quite possibly IBS.
Well, go get tested.
I have.
What'd they say?
They said.
Quite possibly, but not sure.
They said that it usually accompanies my bladder stuff. And suck it up, buttercup.
Well, that's what you do if you get a red light.
Meanwhile, your poor neighbor with the trailer with it, like, rocking her. If the trailers are rocking, don't come a-knocking.
Oh, my God, right? Also, when you said neighbor, I'm like, next town over? Like 50 fucking acres?
Just keep rubbing it in that they're on 50 fucking acres, Donna. Just keep rubbing it in. Living the fucking dream over there.
Right? Oh, my God.
50 acres, man. That's the dream.
It's really not for me. Like, my little bit is enough for me.
You don't have just a little bit, though.
But I can see the houses on each side. 50 acres, I'd be like, is anybody out there?
Yeah, but you have a decent amount of land, though.
That's what I said. I'm like,
happy. You have 5 acres?
4.
Okay, that's a lot.
Well, if Carrie kills me, we know why. It's for the land.
No, my perfect. Well, I mean, I would definitely take anything over this, but if you were like, pick a number, I would do 40. But if you were like, I have more than that, I'd be like, give me. Or whatever Veruca Salt says. Okay, the next one. I have stories. Hey, ladies, day one listener, first time caller, I have six stories for you all. This is the first time I've ever written into a podcast, but I can't let this sector die. Here I go. Time to play captain. Save a hoe. Oh, well, just kidding. My name's Julie. Use my name. It's okay. I ain't in WITSEC, so we're good. Okay, story one. When I first started my career in caregiving, I was working with a client who had high-functioning autism, amongst other things. I worked nights with him, and most of the time he slept. I mean, right? I worked nights with him. What else is there to do? Well, he's usually a solid sleeper. I will not say his name, HIPAA, and all that jazz, so we'll call him Todd. Anyway, every time Todd was asleep, and I was in the kitchen making his lunch or cleaning, I would hear him shuffling down the hallway. It's a long hallway, and the vibes were off. Let me tell you, on edge all night, because he would come up behind you if he wasn't in a good mood and hit you, or just right up on you. He meant no harm. He's a huge teddy bear. Anyway, every night he slept, I would hear him shuffle down the hall, and he was in his room asleep. When I asked the other staff about it, they said, in this field, group homes have weird bumps in the night. I was scared at first. Eventually, I did move on. I can still hear his shuffle sometimes when I'm having a particularly edgy night. Story two. Another group home I worked at, I had this girl who was very angry. Anytime she wasn't home, we would hear her walking upstairs. No one talked about it, but we all knew it was her restless energy walking around upstairs. I don't think it was the house settling. I like to think it was the spooky choice. Story three. I had a client who used to love snacking. He was all about snacks at his mealtimes. I would see him pass in the hallway in my peripheral. I don't know how to spell that. It's 11:30 p.m. I'm on my 18th night working with no real rest. I would see a white hoodie with the strings sway past me and go into the pantry. The air was wild. I hated that pantry. Story four. I had a cat. He was a black short-haired. I had adopted him, and he was the sweetest boy. His name was Binks, or Binky, which was his nickname. I'd call him Binky Boy. Shout out to Binks from Hocus Pocus and Binky Barnes from Arthur. Hey, I'm a millennial. What are we going to do? Anywho, so Binks used to sleep in my bed every night. He would sleep on my back and on my hip. I sometimes sleep on my stomach or my side. No matter how I sleep, he would adjust with me. And after having him for 2.5 years, he started to develop these round sores all over his body. At first, I thought he was aggressively grooming himself, but that don't math. How's he going to lick the center of his head? Then, before I could get him to the vet, I had a dream on a Wednesday that I let him out to go to the restroom. After our sleep, I would wake up at 5:30 a.m. like clockwork. He went out, and I never saw him again after that dream. So the next night after I had the dream, I was laying down. I felt him jump on the corner of my bed and climb onto my hip. I went to pet him and I was talking like, it's about time. Where were you, Binky Boy? But he wasn't there. I swear I felt him. I told my sister about it and she said, oh, he was coming to say goodbye. She told me that when cats are passing away, they'll sometimes say bye and leave you so you don't have to see them pass away. I miss my boy every day. I haven't heard from him since. Story five. Okay, final story. We lost my Nana in April of this last year. She passed on hospice, only being on hospice for 6 days when she passed. A few days after passing, I was sitting up around 3 a.m. doing some paperwork. I was filling out her death certificate. And from the corner of my eye, I saw a gray aura shaped like my Nana's hair up in a bun sitting slanted on the edge of the bed with her hands to her mouth. I looked to face her and I got full body chills. It was my Nana sitting with me for one last time. Needless to say, she hasn't been back. She's on to the next chapter. Okay, ladies, that's all I've got for now. This email is long. Sorry, ADHD, there was no avoiding it. I'll send in some more soon. Love you, fella. Extra large pizzas. P.S. For anyone keeping track, the date is September 18th. My niece's 12th birthday. Woohoo! Her name is Lillian. Okay, love you. Bye. September 18th is my sister's birthday. My sister Casey. Also, the I'm not in WITSEC made me die.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Okay, not to skip any stories, but cats really do that. Like, I know a lot of animals will, but it really is cats will, I mean, unless you like only have them in your house and they can't do anything. But if you ever let them out and they are going to pass, like they do really just like, all right, peace.
Yeah. Our dog did that. He was a runner. He was a track star. And sometimes he would go away for a couple of days at a time. But then one day he did it and he just never came back. Now, could he have gotten like shot or something? Maybe. But
yeah,
I think he went away because he knew he was sick.
Yeah.
Because he was like 13.
Can we go back though to the first story with the man who would like shuffle down the hallway, but like actually, I mean, I know you heard him shuffle like at different points because you said like he would come up to you in the hallway and stuff. But like to hear that distinct sound mm-hmm. when you know he is sound asleep. No, thank you.
I do that even with like after my dog Bo passed, I would think I would hear him coming down the hall and stuff. Which I know it's not the same as a human, but.
Well, even just like your cat, though, like I had a sole cat. And when he passed, I felt him get up on the bed and it was just like, oh, yeah, come here. And like I patted the thing, like the mattress. And I was like, wait, you're dead.
Yeah. Like,
holy shit. But I took a picture. It was pitch black. And I took a picture and it like the do you remember this? And it was kind of orange in the like it was black and had orange in it. And he was an orange cat.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. But I think it was with that Histomatic camera. Remember when that was something?
No, not at all.
What?
But I do remember you like patting the bed, but I don't remember the orange thing.
Yes. Oh, God. I didn't like it. And my room at the time was blue.
Yeah.
And because later it was an orange coat, like a golden yellow color. So then I would be like, oh, it was just the wall. No, this was fucking dark blue. Like it was not the same color.
Also, so sorry for your loss with your Nana, but I'm glad that she came to see you one last time.
Yeah. What do you think is harder? And not like it's a competition or anything, but with hospice, because some people, you know, like they'll stay on hospice for a while. And then there's others like her Nana who passed away days into it. And I feel like your dad passed away quickly too.
My grandma was only on hospice. She was in the hospice house one day.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess because it's like, okay, I just think about me getting myself like, okay, they're on hospice. It's, you know, like they're going to go, but then like, I don't know. I just feel like it would take longer. Then it'd be like the day. I'd be like, what the fuck?
I think it depends. Like,
So my question was, do you think it would be like, is it easier or harder? Like you, like if they lived on hospice for a year, I don't know if you can even do that, but like, you know what I mean? Or them going to hospice and then passing like within days of going on hospice.
I think it depends on how much they're suffering.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, because some people are, you know, on hospice and are dying, but it's more for, like, symptom management. But they're able to still, like, function pretty well in their everyday lives and, like, take care of themselves and live pretty independently, but still be on hospice because of, like, symptom management, more like palliative care. But whereas, like, if it's truly like end of life, I think it just depends.
Yeah.
But I will say hospice is very, very, very special. And I think that we are so scared of death now and are so scared to just let people pass away in a like respectable way. And like we try to keep people alive with machines and feeding tubes and all of these things. And it's like, the body's just not meant for that. Like,
yeah.
There's so much stuff, like, even like in nursing homes and stuff that you see these people that are like 89 years old with like dementia or not even with dementia, but like, you know, these chronic diseases that are, they're their quality of life is shit and their families still have them on like a full code. And it's like, if you do chest compressions on them, like you are going to wreck their body. Like,
yeah,
why let them go?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, they've stopped eating. You need to put a feeding tube in. You need to do all that. And it's like, yeah, they're 89 years old. That's their body shutting down. Let them go. Like, yeah. I get it's hard. Do not get me wrong. I've lost every grandparent and I've lost a dad. Like, we've lost both of your parents, your sister. Like, I get it. We've been through loss. Like, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I completely understand. And I would not, the only thing that I would change is I would have let my dad pass away sooner. I would have done everything sooner and not kept him on that medicine as long as we did, you know, so that he yeah. could have not suffered. Like, he wasn't eating. All the signs were there. We were trying to keep him alive. Like, you got to let people go. When their bodies are shutting down, you got to let them go.
Yeah. Well, that got deep.
I'm telling you, that really is like one of my passions, dying with respect and dignity.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And like dying on your own terms, but also not putting people through terrible things because you're not ready to let them go.
Right. Okay, last one. What's up? I just heard my first story on the pod. So cool. Totally fangirling, and I sent it to my sister to listen to, but didn't tell her I wrote in. So we will see if she recognizes the story from her dad. Here's a recent tale from my stockpile of creepy shit. This story takes place at the beginning of summer, so end of May this year. We had a family friend pass away. He was my mom's old boyfriend who we lived with as children in fourth grade. This home was not always happy, and it had its own creepy tales attached, but this man was kind to us, and we had a special bond with him. My favorite memory was not being able to go to school, so he took me fishing in the Intercoastal, and to this day, that salty, sweet smell brings back good memories. So naturally, we were all pretty upset about his sudden passing. A few weeks after he passed, I would be out and about, and I would see him. When I would see a man that looked like him, I'd think, oh, look, it's Bill. And then my brain kicked in, and I would remember, he's dead. This sad, overwhelming feeling would wash over me, and I'd feel a little comfortable through the sadness. I do believe that he was coming to visit just to say hi. In addition to seeing him or his likeness around town, I also started to see a shadow man out of the corner of my eye. I would be in the kitchen making dinner, and in my peripheral vision, I don't know, I would see what seemed to be a man. Just a quick shadow figure, but somehow I got the sense it was a man with a cowboy hat. Not sure why I felt the cowboy hat. Now, the vacuum was near, so I just brushed it off as the vacuum. But this went on for weeks. I don't know, I would just get a weird sense of not being alone and then would see the man. Now, to wrap this up, because it's a novel at this point, one night my son woke up and I walked out of my room into the darkness of the living room, and there in the far corner behind the couch, I saw a little girl, not one of my little girls, a dark shadow thing that had dark straight hair kind of lurking in the corner behind the couch. This caused me to pause, and I went back to my bed and I sent my husband to take my son. I didn't tell him what I saw or why he had to go. He knows I don't like to walk around the house at night. And that's it. Everything just kind of stopped by the end of summer. Y'all keep on keeping on. XOXO J. I've done that before where I've seen my uncle's likeness. Like, I would put money on it that it was him. And I'm like, wait, he's not here. Like, it's not him. You know, like, he didn't fake his fucking death. Like,
yeah.
But it's like, I'm just like staring at this person. And now when my dad was alive, we were at a casino and me and Tiffany just crack up because this guy, like, so my dad played roulette. But after he was like down and out on roulette, he would then like play the slots just to like pass the time till my mom was out of money because we never won. So me, mama, my dad, Tiffany, we were all at, we called it the old Fogey Stogie, but it was Treasure Bay because at the time, like a lot of older people would go there. And we were walking upstairs, like we were walking around in the upstairs part, and I thought it was my dad. And I went to wave to be like, hey, because I think I was trying to go eat somewhere. Like, hey, we going to eat at the buffet? But I went to wave and Tiffany knocked my hand down and was like, that's not your dad. And I like was like, no, that. And she was like, not your dad, not your dad. And then like we looked and I was like, holy shit. He had the same hair, like salt and pepper hair. He was tan like my dad. He had a flannel shirt like my dad had on, you know, and I'm like, yeah, he's playing the slots, but my dad plays the slots.
Yeah.
When he's like ran out of money for his like, because he loved roulette, but I swear to God, he played every fucking number on the board.
Yes, he like, did.
I'm like, I don't understand. But anyway, that was so, that was so like weird because again, I would have bet money that was my dad. And the reason why Tiffany knew it wasn't my dad is because she had thought the same thing. And then she was like, oh, wait, that's not Mr. Steve. Like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. But this isn't the same thing. But I got Tiffany back because when we were at Lucky Rabbit for Halloween, she thought my sister-in-law was in the Beetlejuice, like as like a character or whatever. And she was like, hey, I said, who do you think that is? And she said, oh, never mind.
Wait,
I thought that was Barbara, like
she
my
did.
Sister-in-law. And I was like, I just thought you knew him. Like, I was like, oh, they might be like someone you know from something that I don't know.
Yes.
But like, she was like, hey.
And that girl was so nice. She just went along with it. She was like, hey.
No.
And Tiffany's like, hey. No. Oh, no God. One knew anybody.
Not my sister-in-law. Mm-mm. Not my sister-in-law.
Well, thank y'all so much for sending in all these stories. Keep them coming. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.